We don't have a quorum yet? Let's just see. There's Virginia, there's Maryland, there's DC. We have a quorum. Good morning. Good morning. We'll call to order the meeting of the Audits and Investigations Committee, and we will first have a safety report. Good morning. Thank you very much.
Yes, good morning. I'm Lou Brown, Assistant Chief Safety Officer for Washington Metro, acting for Mr. Daugherty, Chief Safety Officer. First off, if there is an alarm go off in the building or an emergency, please exit through either of the two doors to my right, the exit signs, or the door that you came in. Please go out the front of the building, use the safety of a crosswalk to go to the Building Museum across Fifth Street, and we will organize by the green building over there to take a head count. Also, there is an AED, in the event we need one, out by the guard station by the turnstiles in the lobby. Safety contact. Please recognize that the National Safety Council has stated that April 2014 is Distracted Driving Awareness Month. Thousands die needlessly each year because people continue to use their cell phones while driving, handheld or hands-free. Join the National Safety Council this April in urging those you care about to stop using cell phones while driving, recognize that hands-free devices offer no safety benefit, understand the dangers of cognitive distraction to the brain, and tell others about the dangers of cell phone distracted driving. There's a myth that most car crashes are caused by car malfunctions such as faulty brakes, blown tires, or engine problems. But the fact is that vehicle problems represent a very small portion of crashes. Most vehicle problems have to do with improperly inflated or maintained tires. As much as 90% of all crashes are caused by driver error and can be prevented. Cell phone use behind the wheel can lead to a driver error, and it's very prevalent behavior on our roads today. 9% of drivers at any given daylight moment are talking on phones while driving. Drivers using cell phones are 4 times as likely to be in a crash, in part because their ability to respond to hazards is significantly affected. Drivers talking on cell phones can miss seeing up to 50% of the roadway environment, including traffic signs, pedestrians, and cyclists. All of these risk factors could be lessened if drivers would hang up their phones and simply drive. Please remember to drive carefully, stay alert, and always use your safety belt. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. I appreciate it. This morning, this was a regularly scheduled audit committee meeting, but we, because of the substantive concern of the draft FMO report that we received, and we wanted to take this moment for the audit committee and other members of the board who might choose to participate in this discussion to talk with our external auditor about the report itself, the impact of that report, the nature of those findings with respect to the role and responsibility of our external auditor in examining the financial strength and integrity of our business operations. So this is an informal discussion with very formal questions. I want to limit my opening comments and ask at the outset for our principals who are here, John McCourt and Pat Hagen of the McGill Adrian Associates firm, which is incidentally new with our business contract. It just began this year. I'd like for them to talk. Undoubtedly, they're familiar with the report, the draft report. I certainly hope you are. But at this point, everyone else in the free world is. And I'd like for you to provide some opening comments on your perspectives prospectively on this audit report, its findings, which certainly have some material findings in them, and how that will impact your work, what your review with respect to that, to the findings will be. And with your opening comments, then I'll go straight, allow our board members to ask whatever questions they might choose to ask of you. I had suggested we would constrain this meeting to a half hour, but in view of its significance and importance, I don't want to constrain the questions that the board members may have, so we will allow that to continue as long as necessary, but not longer than 10 o'clock. And John, let me turn to you now. Thank you.
Thanks, Alvin. I'm John McCourt. I'm John McCourt. I'm the local audit partner, and the way we have our Pat Hagen is our client service coordinator.
Let me see this a little bit louder, please.
Yep. Is this good?
Yes, yep. That's
there we go.
Thank you.
Let me start again. Thanks, Alvin. My name is John McCord. I'm a partner with McGladrey, and with me today is Patrick Hagen. He's our client service coordinator, and he's also our industry lead for our state and local practice. I'm going to turn it over to Pat just at a high level to talk about, you know, our first impressions from reading the draft FMO report. And then we're going to further go into what impact that would have on the auto process, in particular with the Transit Authority.
Thank you, John. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Thank you for pointing out this is our first year. It's an exciting first year, and we've begun the audit, but we are clearly just in the planning process now, and as a matter of fact, we're not even at the end of the fiscal year. So. I thought we might start by just discussing and reminding everybody briefly of the responsibilities and the role of the external auditor as McGladrey has been engaged, and then perhaps contrast that to the role of the FTA's hired firm for the FMO and or the trainer review. So our contract clearly is to express an opinion on the financial statements of WMATA for the fiscal year. In addition, we look at the single audit federal funding and express an opinion on the schedule of expenditure of federal awards. And then thirdly, we provide a recommendations letter for our observations on internal controls. So the logical question that comes up in these circumstances is what's the overlap, you know, what's the role of the external auditor in the follow-up, et cetera. I should also say for the external audit, Mr. Chairman, that we obviously work on a sample basis. You know, we obviously, no auditor tests all transactions at any client. So, you know, it's really, there's an element of professional judgment in here. And as a result, we do appreciate this chance to have this dialogue because this is the kind of communication that the external audit firm expects. We have read the report in detail, and we are familiar with all the topics in there. We've also read the 2008 report, and we're familiar with all the topics in there. You know, in my personal experience and representing the firm's government practice, you know, I personally am serving as the outsourced auditor general right now for a transit agency. I have served as the external audit partner for some large properties. And we also have in the past done some work for the triennial, for FTA doing the triennial reviews. So as a general statement, many of those topics and areas do overlap. However, there are some important distinctions. And some of those distinctions are that the external auditor's job is to opine on the fairness of the presentation of the financial statements. And that's what your opinion says, and that's our role. And in that role, we look at internal controls. We look at the system, the technology. We look at many of the same topics that were covered in the FTA FMO report. The purpose, as expressed by the FTA's FMO auditor of their review, is to opine actually on the internal controls relating to federal financial reporting. So it's a distinction, subtle distinction, but I'm just trying to make that point for the record. And then the question is, well, what areas of overlap might there be? And I think it's fair to say that the three primary areas that were identified as material weaknesses definitely do overlap with our work. And so, you know, we've taken a very careful look at the budget findings, material weakness with the procurement material weakness, and the grant reporting material weakness. And those are areas that we need to consider in the course of the audit. Now that we're aware that another firm has expressed material weaknesses, you know, related to those areas, we will likely have to increase our scope, and we will have to do some additional procedures to get ourselves satisfied that that's not going to impact the financial audit. So that's probably not too surprising to anyone, but I think I'd also just say, and then I'll take some questions here in a moment, Mr. Chair, the other general way external auditors approach an audit is to try to test controls so that we can take what we call reliance on the controls of the organization. And that's important because then we look at transactions throughout the year, and it also allows the external auditor to reduce the amount of time that they spend at the end of the year performing other substantive procedures. We are going to need to make an evaluation between John and I and the team about whether we can rely on controls for this year, you know, given the information that's become publicly available. We have reviewed management's responses. I think management's responses are very good. I think that they're proactive and responsive. There's also a relatively aggressive timetable set to accomplish those within 90 days of the signing or the issuance of the final report. So we will need to work with management to be sure that there's adequate time to continue to support the audit as well as to resolve the FMO findings.
By supporting the audit, let's distinguish between the audit that you are conducting versus the audit that is being responded to by the FMO.
Yes, sir. Definitely two audits. Our timetable, as you know from previous communications, is underway, and you know we will have more staff on site relatively soon, and we're working with management through those logistics now. But it will be a busy 90 days, I'm sure.
Thank you. Let's, sure, absolutely.
It goes without saying that for the board, who is the customer of the audit, to have received 4 years worth of external independent audits without a single management letter, without a single management comment, to have an independent outside auditor on behalf of the FMO review our control systems and find a number of shortcomings that we would have expected the external auditor to have uncovered and noted. If you're telling me that the work of the external auditor excludes reviewing guidance given to us by our key funder, the federal government and the Federal Transit Administration through the FMO process, and we need to amend the scope of your contract to make it absolutely clear what the board's expectations are about the review of those standards and guidelines are as part of the external audit. We can't have two conflicting processes that go past each other in the night and have us be accountable as the board of the authority to make the corrective actions that are necessary to stay in compliance both with standard accounting practices and the requirements for financial control of our funders.
Thank you, Director. Yes, we understand the external auditor's responsibility to report directly to the board and the audit committee. I won't speak to, and I can't speak to what the prior auditor did or did not do in their approach. I will point out for your benefit, though, that the prior auditor has issued a management letter, and that management letter does contain some significant deficiencies and other matters. So part of our responsibility as your current auditor is to follow up on any open items. Those would be open items that we would follow up on in addition to the FMO report. With regard to our current scope, as I mentioned, you know, we're engaged to perform the audit of the financial statements, look at the single audit, and also issue management letters. Our work to opine on the financial statements is guided by, as you all know, the GAO Yellow Book and government auditing standards. So I think it's quite clear in the GAO Yellow Book and the government auditing standards what the auditor's responsibility is. I wouldn't, you know, initially see any need to amend the contract, except if this audit committee chooses to ask us to do some additional work to focus more specifically on the areas that are included in the FMO review.
Let me ask in follow-up to Tom's comments that that you do prepare a scope that could be evaluated that would include those matters that may be considered by the organization and the board so that we may reflect on what those differences are, what those differences are in terms of scope, what those differences are in terms of cost of the execution, and I think that would put us in a position to be able to to make a judgment as to whether we want those matters included in the scope, notwithstanding the fact that many of those will be examined in this particular scope year because they were findings that found us in a position of needing additional work.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We'll do that. And good point. Many of those are, you know, obviously we're in the middle of the audit, so those came to our attention, so we do need to review those. I would expect that given management's timetable to resolve some of these matters that, you know, there may be similar recommendations in our report, and I wouldn't expect that we'd be able to say that, you know, all those matters have been cleared and communicated and resolved by the time that our external audits concluded. So just to let the committee, you know, think about that, by the time that our work is concluded and we render our opinions on the CAFR and meet with you for final discussion, some of those matters may still be pending.
Let's do this just for the benefit of not only the board but for those who are gathered here this morning. Would you just describe what your timetable is, and then I'll just start from left to right so that we can flow around the questions, make sure everybody has an opportunity to ask questions. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're in the planning phase of the financial statement audit at the moment, and we are due to come out, I think, the end of April and the beginning of May to perform our planning procedures, and that is the period where we would, if we deemed it to be likely effective, where we would potentially test internal controls over financial reporting, and as well as internal controls for single audit purposes. In light of the findings, we are in discussions just internally on would we now potentially change that approach for what we would be normally planning to do in our planning phase. You know, it's neither, and this is something that potentially goes to your question, you know, from an audit efficiency and then a value for the customer, you know, we may decide that, you know, if in discussions with management, if there was a finding and we're looking at the current state of play, that it may not be effective or efficient for us to then come in and to go over that again just to have the same outcome. So therefore, and as Pat mentioned that earlier, we may actually have to change our approach, not to look at as many internal controls or financial reporting and test them in the planning phase, which would shift our focus and our some of the timing to potentially having to do more substantive testing, which would happen obviously after the year end, and we're currently scheduled for the month of August with a delivery of a draft report, I believe, by the first week in September, according to the timeline. And I think another important distinction to make is even when we talk about testing the internal controls over financial reporting, we do not, if for financial reporting purposes, opine on the effectiveness of those internal controls. The purpose of our testing is to decide how much substantive work we need to do. You know, our purpose is not to come out and the equivalent federal would be under 123, where there would actually be an opinion given on the effectiveness of the internal controls for financial reporting. So that's something that is not within the scope of our current audit.
But that would be in the alternative scope that we've asked that you produce for our consideration.
Okay, we can do that.
Thank you.
Thank you. I share Mr. Downs's concerns over the fact that we have had several years of no comments on some of the areas that we're now seeing in the FDA audit. But the bigger issue to me is how do you plan to handle the a major addition to our system by the inclusion of the Silver Line in the audit? What's your procedure on that?
That has you know, been ongoing discussions since we were chosen as the new auditor. A lot depends on whether the transfer happens, you know, in this current fiscal year or in the next fiscal year. There are various different approaches that we would take, and, you know, we are aware of, you know, a similar FDA report issued over the Airports Authority, you know, with regard to the Silver Line. So, you know, we take that into consideration. We will be looking at their external auditor's report and the single audit by the airports authorities auditor, because it will, they should have and will, you know, be opining on the construction phase of the asset. And when that is transferred over, you know, we will be placing some reliance on the work that they have already done, as, you know, as we're required to do under government auditing standards to avoid duplication of audit process. So we will be working with them to find out and, you know, review what they have already done, and that'll be part of what we would consider in the further work that we have to do. Now, when the asset comes over, we will be looking at, you know, how it has come over, how it's disaggregated, and then how it, for a few reasons, obviously one for financial reporting purposes, but then and also the reporting capabilities back to the FTA according to the FTA regulations.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to ask a couple of questions really focused on the single audit as opposed to our external audit. Single audit is what is required by the federal government. The reason it's called single is if you have multiple sources of funding, you only have to do one audit, but it's done according to federal guidelines. Who is your client for that?
The client for that is still the audit committee. It's an audit report. It's in our contract, and yeah. So ultimately those
reports. But ultimately, we provide it to the federal government.
Management files the single audit with the National Clearinghouse, and that is the way that's provided to the federal government. Obviously, the FTA has access
FTA
to that.
FTA being our only grantor of funds ultimately has that to look at.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the FTA can... And in some cases, has followed up with our firm if they have questions.
That's what I was going to ask. If they actually read it and have follow up.
Yes, and we're available to have that discussion. We would always ask and seek approval from the audit committee and management before we would have that discussion. But that's part of the transparency that we would provide on your behalf.
It's also been my experience that a federal agency, at least within DOT, if they have concerns, will ask the DOT Inspector General to do a quality control process with respect to single audits from an agency. It doesn't happen often, but it can happen. And I assume if that were to happen, we'll have your support in making the information and communications available to the IG.
If McGladrey were selected for a quality control review by a federal agency, we would always cooperate.
And within the single audit, there is a section which says, in your opinion, there have been no violations, that the agency is in compliance with federally required procedures. Because I've asked that question each year from your predecessors and gotten the answer, yes, we looked and there were no violations. How deep they may have looked, what they may have looked at, but what do you do to be able to make that statement?
First, let me say you're absolutely correct in terms of what the auditor's responsibility is in terms of looking at compliance with the federal programs. You only do have one large grantor here, so obviously we look at the OMB compliance supplement, which is issued annually, and that's really the guidance for the testing. Again, I'll say, and this is true for the financial statement audit as well, we do not test 100% of all transactions. We do look at the 12 areas identified by OMB, things like eligibility, cash management, allowable costs. Those are very, very traditional areas. And any auditor will use some judgment in selecting transactions within those areas. Yes, there's a common area component which...
There's the unique ones.
Yep, exactly. And the common ones, as you know, look at general controls and specifically controls over financial reporting. So, again, that's where we get into a little bit of potential overlap with what the FMO report looked at, and we would consider that in our testing. The point here for the audit committee and others to note is that, you know, we will be rendering an opinion on each of the major programs, And so it is appropriate for an audit committee to ask about scope, and we're happy to have that discussion. I would say at this point, given what we know, that as John alluded to, we're likely to increase our scope on some of the single audit testing. And in particular, we looked at the comments that related to the federal financial reporting and the reconciliation to the schedule of expenditure of federal awards and the reconciliation to some of the cash drawdown procedures. So,
and how about procurement procedures? Would you normally look at that?
Procurement, absolutely. That's, as I mentioned, one of the three material weaknesses. We would look at that as well as the budget. We would look at procurement, Director, from the perspective of both the external audit and the financial controls for financial reporting, and at the same time, some of the controls for the single audit.
Because that is a compliance issue.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thank you.
Agreed.
Thanks. I just want to ask one question, because we are, because of the FMO, we're intensely focused on making sure that our largest funder is satisfied and that we're following all the appropriate procedures. But I am reminded that we have other funding agencies who we don't do a single audit for. We're relying on you. So my question really is, particularly as it pertains to the first two categories, the significant deficiencies and material weaknesses, can you talk a little bit about how you look at those areas relative to the non-federal funds? You're testing for controls, you're validating a number of other things. Can you help us understand that?
Yeah, very good question. I'll start, and then John can supplement that. We look at controls, let's say, over cash management in general. And cash management largely is driven by some of your federal funding here, but certainly has other components. And some of those other components are the fare box revenue, some of the, are the state jurisdiction sharing, and a variety of other taxing sources. So from the external audit perspective on the overall financial statements, we would look on a sample basis at all those. And again, I'll say we don't test 100%. But we would look at all those, whether we drill down and specifically look at the process for each one of those probably does not occur. But the answer to the question is we would consider all those in the context of the external audit, and knowing what we're now aware of in the FMO report, we would look to see if there's any specific follow-up that should be done in a more focused area.
Well, I appreciate that.
Okay.
I think if there are thoughts about ways we ought to be talking to our other funders as a result of what you do, whether the improvements to reports or different ways that we might make sure that our other funders have the same assurance our federal partners do, yeah. I certainly would welcome that as advice to the board. So,
well, I think if I may just offer a thought, we did read the management draft responses again. I thought those were very well done, and one of the things that I thought was particularly relevant to our work going forward might be the enterprise risk management and the whole risk assessment process, and that's a very much of a best practice for any large transit agency and large governmental entity, and that would be something that, when it's completed, we'd be happy to look at with you, and I think, you may think about presenting something like that to your funders to give them some comfort in addition to our reporting.
Thank you.
Mr. Dyke, Mr. Dyke, then Mr. Bellamy, and then Mr. Downey.
Yeah, I passed early, but there is one question, because at the Governor's Committee, and we've been talking about just process and the idea of having executive sessions between our outside auditors and the board, and I just wanted to get some ideas. Is that a common practice you have with your other transit agencies, that you have an executive session just with the board without any management involved?
Yes, that is a best practice. We do that at most major clients, and I believe that's typically a non-public meeting, but that's a discussion of any other issues that may come to our attention. It's feedback from the audit committee to us, probably at a more discreet level than we're talking about today. But and yes, no, yes,
normally,
that's
appropriate. How, what's the regularity of that? Is that something you do on an annual basis, quarterly, whatever?
Yeah, it depends. I guess I'd say, you know, for a property this size, that, you know, the audit, we meet very frequently with the audit committee here. You know, this, I think it's quite engaged process, and that's a good thing from our perspective. For the executive session, we would suggest generally that there absolutely be one at the end of the year, you know, after the audit's complete. That's very, very standard. And then many other agencies like to do one at the beginning of the audit when we have a planning session. So we'd be open to either of those. Frankly, Mr. Chair, I'm not sure how many of those were contemplated in the scope of our contract, but yes, those are best practices.
Yeah, well, at the time the scope of the contract was laid out, we didn't have an FMO report we had to deal with.
That's
so
true.
I think we need to be, we'll be getting back to you on flexibility with that.
Thank Points you. Well made. Thank you. Let's go to Mr. Bellamy, and then we'll come back to Mr. Dunn. Okay.
So after the FMO, the question is that the termination of a high-risk audit and a low-risk audit, how are we viewed now? How do we are viewed?
Do you recall what the prior auditor's assessment was? I would think, however, Director, whatever it was in the prior year, it's probably going to change to high risk. And what that means is that the auditor has to do some additional testing that is reported, as you probably know, to FTA in the single audit report that we will provide and management will file on the National Clearinghouse. And so that's not atypical. I mean, we have other transit properties that have this exact same current restrictions on the drawdown, and, you know, this is a program that FTA executes nationally, and so it's not unusual to be identified as a high-risk audit team.
So with the controls that we're recommended, that the board have been recommended, would you then test the controls that we're putting in place over the next 90 days, or who would be responsible for testing those controls to see that we are hearing?
Yes, I think your external auditors would not be responsible directly for testing the controls or the changes, you know, the new policies, the new adoption of standards, and those things that management's proposing. We would look, and our responsibility as external auditors is to follow up on any findings. So whether they're FTA findings or prior auditor findings or other firms' findings, so I think in next year's audit, we would certainly come back, and by that time, if management has met their 90-day timetables, we would look to determine, you know, what the status is. I don't know if the IG would follow up on some of those or not. We would certainly be aware and happy to consult on those, but our responsibility, at least right now, unless we talk about additional scope, is not necessarily to follow up on those specific responses.
One of the things, and then I'll turn to more, that I want to see is based on the observations within the FMO and the things that you know will impact, I'd like to see at this by next week your revised plan, work plan. There is a quite detailed work plan right now that walks through both at a detail level and a high level the steps in our process and our program to get to the execution. Given the nature of the changes that you're contemplating right now, let's get a revised scope for the audit committee's review that certainly we'll share with the rest of the board and others. But let's do that as quickly as possible, working with the IG and with the general manager's office. And included, in addition to that, the alternative scope that we discussed that potentially we would consider with those matters and any other key points that came out of this as a takeaway. Let's turn to Mr. Downey.
Just to follow up on, the compliance part of your review. You say you would obviously are not going to do 100% look at all transactions, but you are selectively looking. If there were transactions that had been identified, perhaps by the IG, perhaps by the DOT IG or others, would you take a look at those?
Yes.
It's pretty hard to say it was compliance if someone said or not.
I do think I got the right answer here. Even more so than just a yes, because they've been identified, and this goes to Mr. Bellamy's question on risk, in all likelihood and almost certainly the before the report had come out, the sample size that we will be now choosing, and therefore the number of compliance attributes that we'll be looking at, will be increased, and then we'll be reporting on the results thereof.
Thank you. Thank you. And we did have built in the program an executive session with the full board at the beginning of this particular session. There will be an executive session at the end, but within the scope, again, amend the schedule and scope that we can review as an audit committee, and we'll share that with the board in terms of any additional meetings that might be there. Two things I want to make sure that we do. First, I want to approve the minutes of the last meeting. If we can do that, so that I stay in compliance. Do I get a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Let me turn now to the general manager, Carol, to Helen, our IG, if there are any questions, comments, observations you want to bring out in this discussion.
No, I don't have any questions. And, you know, I think we're meeting later today. We welcome the assessment that McGladrey is bringing to the table, specifically with the FMO. And I know they've reviewed our findings as well as the management actions, and I know that they're glad to see that we're making progress. What you have identified was the risk in terms of completing in 90 days, and so we'll have to work through that. We feel pretty confident, but there will be a heightened level of review given what the board is requesting. So we'll just have to manage through that and just decide whether or not we need additional resources, but we'll have to work through that. And we'll report to the committee once we make that determination.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Luke?
I have no other comments. Ever since the FMO report's been released to the public, we've been in very close contact with McGladrey.
Thank you very much. The only other question I would have is that one of the aspects of our response was to have the on-call resource available to the audit committee with the specific expertise in financial reporting and auditing. I do want to see an accelerated schedule of when that resource would be available to us, and I'd like to have that next week, that schedule of how that procurement will occur and how quickly it will occur to know when we will have that on-call resource available to us. Any other final questions of the Mr. Downing?
Yeah, in terms of the on-call resource, it was described in the FMO response as financial advice. We also have a process where we could get outside legal advice if needed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Any other questions? Did I miss anything, Loda? Good. If not, then we'll consider this this public session of the Audit Committee adjourned. Thank you very much, Mr. McCourt, Mr. Hagan. Appreciate your time and information.
Thank you.